1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Monday edition of the program, the Bears drafted Justin Fields. What does it mean? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new exclusive interview with Mark Giangreco, the former lead sports anchor at ABC 7 Chicago. We talk with him extensively about why he got fired, what he's up to today, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, save an average of $889. State Farm agent Brian McDevitt, ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Brian today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. I saw so much celebration about this pick. We finally have our quarterback. Media-wide, league-wide, fan-wide, everybody was happy. And it made me think, what are the unintended consequences? What are the issues with this pick? What's the problem? Are there any problems? Was this genuinely the right move for the team? See, that's my job to you. I'm not here to tell you what you want. Not here to say, oh my goodness, great pick, yay. I'm not a fan. I want to tell you the truth. There are both pros and cons to this pick. Was I happy that the Bears moved up to get him? Not really, no. That they gave up two more first-round picks? That they further salvaged more capital at the quarterback position? Hell no! Wasn't happy about that. Am I happy that now there's a three-man competition for the starting job this year? No. Not at all. Am I happy that they're paying Foles $9 million, Dalton $10 million, and now they have Fields? These are things we have to think about here. We could all be happy, but the fact is Fields may not even start a game for this upcoming season. Ryan Pace said we want him to develop, and Andy Dalton is still the QB1. And I want to make sure this is very clear to Bears fans. I see it on my show. I see it on comments and phone calls. Fire Pace, fire Nagy, right? Heard it 100 times on this show. You do realize that they are not going anywhere now. It won't be one more year. They have two or three, in my opinion. If they were given this long to develop Mitch, they'll be given the same amount of time to develop Justin Fields. So for those of you who really want them gone, for those of you who know deep down, like me, that they aren't the best moves for this organization, you're screwed. They are staying. There is a secret contract extension that they signed. Because if there wasn't, they wouldn't pick Fields. Why would they go out and pick a brand new quarterback if they knew for sure their jobs were on the line? See the trade-off here? You do get possibly a good quarterback. We don't know for sure, but we do know one thing for sure. Nagy and Pace aren't going anywhere. So what happens next year when they go 9-8? What happens then? What, more positional coaches are going to be fired? Right? New scapegoats? Whose fault is it going to be this time? See what I mean? We'll talk about Fields in a second and what he means for this team. But I really need to make sure you understand this. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace aren't going anywhere. That's a fact. Because this pick was made, they've been entrusted with more years for this team. And I just found it funny because I know so many people. I see it in the comments on every single Bears video I do. Fire Pace, fire Nagy. But yet, now they aren't going anywhere. I haven't heard anyone say anything about it. Just remember that. Unintended consequences. Trade-offs. A trade-off was made. All of you were celebrating, and you have every right to, have yet to realize that the people you do not like will still be very close to the team. I remember the caller, Matt from Tinley Park, on this channel. And he told me, fire everybody, including Ted Phillips. They're not going anywhere now. They aren't going anywhere. They would not have been able to move up, trade more draft capital, and get another quarterback to develop if they truly had 1 year left. See, these are things no one's thinking of. Everyone's just so happy, and that's fine. I'm here to tell you the truth. Those whom you despise will still have power for a number of years. Oh, and by the way, do we trust Matt Nagy and Pace to develop a quarterback? Wait a minute, do we trust a fair competition this year? That's what I thought. I don't. We saw what happened last year, and I know it's Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, but Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, same dynamic. There are so many variables here, it's not even funny. Fields could start game one, even though he's not ready because Pace and Nagy want to keep their jobs. They could sit him all year and have Andy Dalton start and have the team go 7-10. They could have him come in mid-season based on performance, because Dalton isn't getting it done. Or the competition will be unfair from the beginning, and they'll just give it to Dalton, because they don't want Fields to start no matter how good he does. Does Fields really need a year to sit? We don't know any of this. We will soon, but we don't. Do you really trust the Bears when it comes to a quarterback competition? I don't. No chance I do. These are things we have to think about. A positive is Matthew Stafford gone, Kirk Cousins horrible, and Aaron Rodgers is being a baby. So the Bears are the de facto, I think, favorite in a sense in the NFC North. It's a positive. And maybe they can win the division with Andy Dalton even. I can see it. But we have to see how this plays out. And I'll be honest with you. It's not that Fields isn't talented. It's that I'm very concerned about who the Bears have around him. That was the theme last year, and we all know that. You can say what you want about Mitch or Foles, both of them. They had nothing around him. No O-line, aging defense, no offensive weapons. Same thing this year. No O-line, aging defense. Kyle Fuller's gone. And you have an offensive weapon in Allen Robinson. Darnell Mooney could pop off. on David Montgomery. You don't have a number three wide receiver. Even a four. You need one more. And who knows how the running game's going to work. Hey, David Montgomery had a good year, but it didn't start that way. Nagy didn't commit to the run. We all remember that. He's never been committed to the run. As far as Justin Fields goes, I think he'll be an okay quarterback. But I do think he's a guy who needs the right system. I don't think he has just enough raw talent to go out there and carve anybody up. See, people have compared him to Pat Mahomes. He's not Pat Mahomes. Sorry. No. Get that out of your head right away. Not Pat Mahomes. And frankly, if you're under Matt Nagy as a quarterback, good luck. I hope for the best. It's going to be tough for him. Really tough. I know he has raw talent. I know he could run. That's great. But good luck succeeding in this environment. I'm not saying he's Mitch Trubisky. He's better than Mitch, for sure. But look at how much he struggled. Nick Foles struggled. What makes you think he's just going to rise above all this adversity and win? Only a few quarterbacks in the NFL can win with no one around him. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers to an extent, Tom Brady. Those quarterbacks could win no matter what team they're on, no matter who their coach is, no matter what personnel they have around them. They could win a football game. Do you really expect Justin Fields as a rookie to join that class? You shouldn't. That's naive if you do. He has potential, but he needs to be developed. Needs to be nurtured as a quarterback. Needs to have some pieces around him. You can't throw a rookie into the fire with no O-line. That just is unacceptable. And the thing that really concerns me about this whole pick, not just Fields, the Bears moved up. See, I feel like this time the Bears were compelled to move up. They were so worried and so scarred from Mitch Trubisky that they just felt like we have to do this. It felt desperate to me. That was the message I got. It felt very desperate. I'm not saying it won't be good. I'm not saying Fields won't work out, but the way in which it was done was desperation. That's my concern. Everybody's saying the Bears got it right now. Don't you think that played a role here? Don't you think they thought to themselves, well, now we have to get it right. So we'll do something that might be a bit reckless and we'll hope it works. The situation is just very off-putting to me. I'm not criticizing Fields' talent. I don't know about it yet. We haven't seen him play in an NFL game. I can't say he's bad, he's going to be horrible. We haven't seen him. But everything that surrounded the pick just doesn't sit right with me. The fact that they had to move up, give up a couple of first-round picks, I think they did it out of desperation. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace aren't going anywhere. And if Fields doesn't work, you've got this team further and further behind. Not to mention the fact that I do not trust a quarterback competition on this team. After last year, you shouldn't either. You actually trust it to be fair? You actually trust it to be based off merit? Andy Dalton starting game one. Oh, and you trust Matt Nagy to develop Fields, right? Because he's such a quarterback guru. Give me a break. You could be happy. You could celebrate. No one's saying you shouldn't. But reality needs to set in. This is reality. There are still a lot of question marks here. A lot of them. And until those are answered, I'm keeping my expectations in check. I am not going to tell you right now, wow, the Bears are going to win the division, Super Bowl champions, amazing team. Everything's okay now. The team's fixed. No. And if this doesn't work, you heard it here first, you are really going to regret all this. between giving up more capital, between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy sticking around for longer than just one more year. If this doesn't work, the organization will not be good till at least 2030. Calling it right now. By the time they realize Fields isn't it, it's going to take 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years. Then firings, then new GM, new coach, another rebuild. We're talking about 9 or 10 years here. If Fields doesn't work. If he does, great. And I'll be the first person to toot his horn and be very happy. But just remember what I said here today. The consequences. The ramifications of this whole pick are huge. I mean, the Bears is a franchise right at crossroads here. They really are. They swung again. They tried to ignore what happened in the past. I don't think they did. That's why they moved up. I think this pick was out of desperation. And I'm not fully sure as to how this will work out. You could say what you want. It's wrong to come out and just claim everything's okay now. I get the celebration. Wow, another new quarterback, first round pick. But you can't say everything's fine. The elation will wash off in the next couple of days, and you'll think to yourself, what does this all mean anyway? And you'll remember this video and this radio program. I told you what it all means. There's a lot at stake here. This isn't just, oh my goodness, great quarterback, let's celebrate. No. We're talking about the Bears' future for the next 10 years right now. At least. We're talking about Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace. They are staying past next year. So for all of you who told me, fire Pace, fire Nagy, hashtag fire Pace, fire Nagy, you aren't getting your wish. Not for at least 2 more years, maybe 3. Just remember. Remember what you had to trade personally to get Justin Fields. You might have gotten a good quarterback. We don't even know if he's going to be good. But we do know this. You got him. And you let, in turn, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy stick around. You traded away more draft capital. You invested even more in one position while everything else decays. You're trusting Matt Nagy to develop him, and you're trusting a fair quarterback competition, which, since when is that even a thing with the Bears? You could be happy. You could celebrate. You could claim everything's okay, everything's fine. I don't think it is. And anyone who tells you otherwise is being a fan. They're just being a fan. They're happy. Objectively, not everything's okay yet. Could be soon, not yet. All of these factors surround this pick. And it's wrong to say we're all good over here. You have to think about the unintended consequences, the collateral damage by making this pick. Think about what you gave up as a fan to bring in Justin Fields. You gave up your passion, which is Nagy and Pace shouldn't be here. You gave up reinforcements around the quarterback position. You gave up another couple of first-round picks. And if Fields doesn't work, you gave up about 10 years of the Bears franchise, realistically. Seriously. Fields will get 3 or 4 years at most. And if he doesn't work, then firings happen. Then a new regime comes in. Then you have to wait for a new rebuild to take place. If Fields doesn't work, the Bears will not be good again until 2030, at the earliest. That's it. So just remember what you gave up to get here. I wish him all the best. And it's going to be a great Bears season now covering this entire storyline. I'm excited. But just hold back your expectations a bit. I'm not saying don't celebrate. I'm not saying Hanks did a bad job by moving up. I'm just saying, you don't know what to expect yet, and it's wrong to come out and claim everything's fine. All of these things need time to develop, and we'll cover it for you. There are going to be so many headlines and storylines from today leading up to training camp and the regular season and throughout the season. We'll be here to cover it all. But don't think, at the end of April, that all of a sudden the Bears are Super Bowl contenders again. There's a long way to go for this team. There's a lot of development to do. There are a lot of things that still have to be seen. So go ahead and celebrate. Go ahead and be happy that the Bears made a bold move. But don't expect a Super Bowl today. Don't think they're back in business. Don't think everything is fine. There's a ways to go. Other things still have to play out. And those who tell you otherwise are lying to you. Those who tell you everything is okay are lying. There's more to be seen. So don't believe the lies. Don't believe the myths. Don't believe what everybody else is saying. Think for yourself. Think. All of you who watch me, I know you. I know my audience. I am very shocked to think that all of you are okay with this and just know Pace and Nagy are sticking around. Or that there's going to be a quote-unquote fair quarterback competition. Or that the Bears gave up a couple of first-round picks to get Justin Fields. Oh, and we don't even know what he's capable of. Oh, and Matt Nagy is going to be developing him. See, when you look at it that way, you see the problem. When you just say, oh my gosh, this is great, you see nothing. Remember what really goes on. Remember, there's a long way to go. But that said, I can't wait to see how it all plays out. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mark Giangreco comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus. Must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 free on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Cubs and White Sox are back. The Bulls have a couple of games left before their season ends. The Hawks still battling for a playoff spot. And yes, you can bet on the Bears. Prop bets on Justin Fields are out today. Over or under 3,000 yards, over or under 15 touchdowns. It's a great time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. At sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago. Here with Jonathan Lowell, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the former sports director and lead sports anchor at ABC 7 Chicago and a three-time Emmy Award winner. Please welcome Mark Giangreco to the program. Mark, it's great to have you on. How are you?
John, thank you very much. I'm doing well, moving on and having a good time, and I really appreciate you making time for me on your show here.
What have you been up to?
Well, I tell you, I really enjoy being a civilian and being a casual fan. And I think like a lot of people at this point, I'm trying to shed the pandemic pouch and get back in shape. And things are loosening up a little bit. So I've been doing some traveling again and just exploring a lot of options and opportunities. And I don't know, it's kind of nice living this different lifestyle. But I will admit that it's tough. It is an adjustment after basically 50 years, you know.
How bizarre is it to not be at work or to not have that schedule?
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, in a physical sense. You know, my own sleeping patterns are different. And again, you know, going to bed late, working late, stuff like that. It's a challenge now to get up early. You got to go to bed early because I want to make sure I get to the Old Country Buffet by 4 o'clock, you know, so. But I'm sure things will settle in, you know.
When's the last time do you remember being in this position?
Never. I've never been fired. I've never been transferred. I've never been demoted. This is the first time that I've left a job when it wasn't on my terms or my timetable. So I have to say it was a punch in the face. I mean, obviously. Didn't see it coming, but you know what? I'm moving on. I really am. I'm really glad that I didn't. I don't know. This is a weird thing to say, but I was always embarrassed by accolades and tributes and things like that. And I would always joke that, gee, I got a year and a half left on my deal, and I kind of dreading having a big going away party. I just kind of want to slip out. Well, I got my wish. not on my terms, as I said, but I have to tell you, you find out who your true friends are, both in and outside the business, when something like this happens. And the absolute tidal wave avalanche of public support on social media, coupled with the local and national backing of virtually everyone I've ever worked with or known or competed against in the business, has been really humbling and overwhelming. It's just really been crazy and so much appreciated.
Would that have been your last deal, do you think, at ABC?
Oh yeah, I think so. You know, I'm 69 years old. I mean, it's I've still got plenty of juice left. It's just that, you know, where do I want to use that juice? Yeah, I had planned on leaving in 2022 at the end of my deal, and you know, perhaps doing a little radio or podcast or this and that, or doing nothing. You know, I'm really blessed. I have three wonderful sons who have given me some incredible a trio of daughters-in-law, and now I have three grandkids. I mean, it's just spectacular. I'm the luckiest guy in the world, and my priorities have changed. And I can look back on, you know, a pretty exciting career. I mean, I'm pretty lucky to be able to hitch a ride on this crazy train that was Chicago sports from 1982 to the present, you know.
Do you want to stay in TV right now? Would you be open to that, or radio or podcasting?
Well, you know, I was always a radio guy from day one. That was my first love. My golden life when I was 8 years old, listening to my little transistor radio in Buffalo, New York, was to be a top 40 rock jock. And I used to be able to get WLS and Super CFL and listen to Larry Lujack and, you know, John Records, Landecker and Dick Biondi. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I wanted to be. And for whatever reason, Chicago was always my goal. I just thought it was just this magical place as a kid. And that's what I aspired to. So, you know, radio sounds great. Podcasts, there are no restrictions. I could say whatever I want to say. no boundaries, which could be interesting. I don't know about television. Again, I have to say I've really been flattered by a lot of inquiries, offers, and possibilities that I'm weighing right now. So I don't want to go into detail about that, but I am free to go work wherever I want to work, whenever I want to work. I do not have a no-compete clause. And so I can really do everything or nothing, John.
Are you seriously considering those offers, or are you leaning maybe towards retirement more?
I have to say that right now at this point in time, I'm considering all options.
Okay.
But you know, how many people get to read their own obit and attend their own funeral and then be able to go on with a fresh new life? You know, people have been so wonderful. I've never had to try to explain myself or speak for myself, following my departure, because everyone's done it for me and I can't thank them enough. And, you know, I could look back on all the things that I did with my producers and cameramen at both stations and have forged these incredible friendships and great working relationships. And we have so many great stories. And a lot of people say, ah, geez, you just embellish the hell out of that. Well, maybe a little bit, but for the most part, it's all true, because we lived in the wild, wild west back then. And, you know, I am looking forward now, though, having had this great career that I'll always savor. I'm looking forward to a bunch of new things. I have been approached about doing commercial voiceovers. I went to art school when I was younger. I've always been into designing logos for teams and leagues and, you know, stuff like that. I'm a big car guy. I love classic muscle cars and hot rods, and have been looking at perhaps doing television shows that involve that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of stuff out there.
Mark Giangreco here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, are you at all concerned about the future of media?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially local television news is so challenged now. There are so many other platforms. Social media, while a great phenomenon, is also extremely dangerous, where everyone, qualified or not, has an opinion. Everyone's an expert. Everybody can hide behind their Twitter handle and their Facebook page and just lash out and be totally irresponsible. But it's also given players, leagues, and teams an opportunity to break their own stories. And unfortunately, they don't really need us anymore. Every D1 university, every league, every professional sports team, they have their own media departments, and they pump out all these great, really well-produced features and everything, really pumping their product. But of course, if there's any kind of controversy attached to that franchise, they're never going to deal with it. And I don't foresee anybody ever being back in a locker room again. I think the pandemic just accelerated the inevitable, where sports reporters will never be in a locker room again. It'll always be a sterilized, sanitized, homogenized Zoom interview or news conference in a press room. You know, so we had so much access back, especially in the 80s and 90s. And then in the mid 2000s, it started to become very restrictive. And I think everyone's used the excuse of the pandemic to set the tone for the future. And I don't think it's healthy. Forget about sports, because to me, sports was just all about fun and entertainment. And while we did have to deal with some serious issues from time to time, more so now than in the past, I just think that news is in jeopardy, serious news. I mean, we are the news source we choose, whether it's CNN, Fox, MSNBC, whatever, right wing, left wing. It's all attached with opinion and propaganda and really subversive stuff. And you can't get an objective newscast anywhere these days, it seems. And so forget about sports. News is in jeopardy in general, because there are so many subversive forces out there sabotaging us, you know, infecting our brains with all this subliminal stuff via social media.
Is freedom of speech a problem?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, it's a problem. Hey, look, I consider myself a liberal Democrat, and many people say since you left, maybe you ought to adjust your position to be a moderate. But I have to say that the pendulum has to swing too far. There has to be an overcorrection and an overreaction to get to where we need to be as a society. But I think in the process of trying to make things right, freedom of speech is being retarded a bit. But I think we have to deal with each case individually.
Sure.
And I don't think we can make blanket statements. I just think, you know, we should always have our freedom of speech, but it can't be abused to where it's hurtful and evil and attack-filled. You know, how do you regulate that? I really don't know. I don't know. But we're getting pretty deep here, man.
How difficult does that make your job?
Well, obviously, it made it very difficult. You know, again, radio, a podcast, things like that. You have a lot more freedom. You have a lot more time, just basic time to develop a thought, to listen to someone else's position, to take calls, to interact with viewers and listeners. You're doing a 3.5-minute sportscast, which over the years has become a 3-minute sportscast, which is now down to 2.5 minutes in many cases. It's tough to get out of that box and really do something creative and expand a thought. But my challenge always was, no matter how little time I got, in a newscast that's now being jammed with video and stories. And sports has always been pushed to the back. And I get it. I understand. I always challenge myself to still get 9 or 10 pieces of video in a 2.5 or 3 minute sportscast. I love that. I love that challenge of making a rapid fire delivery and trying to be creative. And I think I learned how to write first and foremost in high school, taught by the Jesuits, which is what they were known for. And then again, I learned how to write in radio when I was doing news, where it was a quick headline service on a top 40 rock station. So you had to be able to tell a story in one sentence. And that's a challenge. And I think I brought that to TV sports, where you can just cram it full of information and video and graphics and try to be funny and creative, no matter how little time you had.
Are you the last of your generation?
Dan Roan is still over at WGN, and there's still a few of us hanging on, but I think my class, which was basically the people who came in around 82, 83, yeah, we're definitely the last of that generation. And we all had great runs, you know. And Lou Kanellis is a great friend of mine, and Dan is just a mensch, and Howard Sudbury was my buddy. And I just had a great run with these guys. And while we were quote unquote competitors, I think we all had fun working together and competing. And it's just not the same. Like I said before, there's no access. The pandemic has separated everyone. It's just Zoom interviews. You're so detached. People are doing their shows from home. I mean, I was lucky to be able to go into the studio and still work in my office and work in the studio with one other anchor. And that's the system that was set up there, which I really appreciated, because I'm not one of those people that enjoy working from home at all. And, you know, it just really just takes away so much energy from the show. And I just always appreciated the fact that I was able to go in during this past year plus, you know.
Do you have any regrets based on everything that's happened?
Well, I have one major regret, which, of course, was the Walter Payton situation. I was always a wise guy, a smart ass, shot from the hip. And during the time Walter had lost a lot of weight, we saw him at Jared Payton's news conference announcing where he was going to go to college. And I asked Brad Palmer, who was on the scene covering the news conference, they asked Walter, you know, about his appearance. And he said, I overtrained for a marathon. I was taking too many diuretics and got out of control. So I, like an idiot, I should have known better anyways. Obviously, that didn't sound like a great excuse, but I jumped on it and said, oh, you know, he looks like Gandhi. I could probably take him, ha ha, because our relationship was always teasing, fooling around, playing practical jokes on one another, taking shots at one another. And of course, that crushed him. He did not want people to know exactly what was wrong at the time. And when he cried at his news conference and said, God bless those who don't feel for me, I knew he was speaking directly to me. It crushed me. It tore my heart out. And that will always be my biggest regret. And nobody wants to hear that part of the story. When my name comes up, even to this day, there are a lot of people who bring that up. But I tried to call Walter 9 or 10 times after I realized what I had done and realized what the real story was. And then finally, a few months later, he called me in my office.
Wow.
And with his little voice said, hey, you're a hard guy to get a hold of. And I'm like, oh, my God, Walter. And he said, look, I lied to you. I was putting people off. I didn't want anybody to know at the time. I forgive you. And he knew he was dying at that point in time. And he went out of his way to call me and say, I forgive you. I mean, that is always going to sit with me forever. I mean, that was a gift. That was an incredible act of forgiveness. But at the same time, that is the biggest regret in my career that I'll always carry with me.
Mark Giangreco here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, what's your legacy here in Chicago, do you think?
My legacy? Well, people who know me in the business, I'd like it to be that I worked really, really hard at trying to make it look easy. And I had this work ethic that I inherited from my dad and other people in my family. And the other part is I never took it seriously. I was always looking to have fun with it. It was never life and death for the most part. And it's supposed to be pure entertainment. And, you know, I liked pushing the envelope and even stepping over the line a few times because that was me. I'd like to think that I was just being myself on the air, and you have to be true to yourself, especially in a provincial market like television. I mean, like Chicago, where people on television have to be themselves or they're ferreted out as a phony immediately. The fans in this town, you know, you better be telling the truth and you better be yourself. And I would like to think that I was. I was always in trouble in grammar school and high school. I was always a problem. I was always very outspoken. I was always a wise guy. I always, you know, was in JUG, which is detention for those who didn't go to Jesuit high school. And I got that from my mom. My mom was really outspoken in your face. So, you know, while there are certain things, like I said, that I shouldn't have done or said, for the most part, I was just trying to be me and just trying to have fun. And I hope that's what the legacy is.
Do you think all this stuff helped or hurt it? Or are you even worried about it?
My departure?
Yes.
Like I said, how many people get to leave like that or are forced to leave like that and have their reputation intact? I feel as though my reputation is intact because so many people have rallied around me, and I'll never get over that. So I think it's actually helped. Like, again, as I said earlier, who gets to read their own obit and go to their own funeral? And the testimonies have been just ridiculously, you know, rewarding and off the charts. So, you know, I'm at the point now where, okay, enough is enough. let's move on. But I mean, I try to thank each and every person who's ever posted anything on Facebook or Twitter or has called me or emailed me or whatever, whether I've met them or not. I'll always, always appreciate it.
How proud are you personally of your run, going from Buffalo to Dayton to Chicago and lasting this long in the business?
I'm very proud of it because it was a nasty business where a lot of people didn't last very long. And, you know, once again, I was lucky to be in the golden era, the heyday when we all made a lot of money and it was all really exciting and it was viciously competitive to the point where there were physical confrontations, there was sabotage. Yeah, it was the most exciting time for our business. Very proud just to have lasted this long. I remember my first day at Channel 5 in 1982, walking into the merchandise mart, I was absolutely terrified. You know, this is the big time. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I had a guy like Chuck Kopic protect me and show me the ropes. And then, you know, I'd stand back and watch Chet and Johnny Morris and Tim Weigel go at each other in the paper every day, you know, with TV critics fanning those flames. And I, you know, was an observer and learned what to do and what not to do and how to handle myself. And, you know, it was like a young quarterback being drafted but had to sit behind the veteran quarterback for a while. That served me really well.
You mentioned sabotage or the competitiveness. Can you talk more about that? Is there a specific story?
Well, you know, there were times when accidentally on purpose, somebody would kick out somebody else's live shot cable or... So, you know,
accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, you know, little technical snafus. Or, I mean, one of the greatest stories was the first NBA championship run, Bulls and Lakers out in LA. Scottie Pippen was going to be on Arsenio Hall's show at Paramount Studios. That was a CBS show. We asked Scottie if we could ride with him. We're in the limo. We're standing out of the sunroof, singing "I Love LA." We're doing a great interview on the way. And Jay Levine from Channel 2 was camped outside the studio waiting to get the exclusive. And he's camera rolling and ready to go. And I get out of the limo. And those are the most rewarding moments when you can beat the competition like that. But it's taken a step further. My producer, Bob Vorwald, who is just absolutely incredible, he posed as a CBS producer, not an NBC producer. And he got the videotape of the show. And we ran the heck out of it. And those are the kind of things you just did what you had to do in the Wild West. You'd cheat if you had to, you know? And now, again, nowadays, none of that stuff would ever be possible.
Mark Giangreco here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, are the Bears bound to make a mistake in the draft?
Absolutely. And I'm rooting for them to have another terrible draft because we're running out of ways to criticize Ryan Pace. It's absolutely ridiculous up there. As long as the McCaskies have owned the team, the whole George Halas, legacy and everything else, they still really know nothing about football. No one's held accountable. There's no system of checks and balances. Ryan Pace was supposed to be the young, hot general manager, stud, taking chances, gambler, really super knowledgeable. Matt Nagy, the young, fresh head coach. And it's all kind of just gone sour. And it's pretty obvious they don't know what they're doing. And I've always maintained that most NFL teams, with all the TV money and everything else, we're so addicted to that sport and that league. It's part of our culture. They don't have to win. They just need to keep making money. And we're all addicts, and everybody's going to buy season tickets, and everybody's still going to watch no matter how bad they are. So I am convinced that they truly are going to do everything they can to really take a chance and try to make a huge splash and try to trade up and give away the farm. But at the end of the day, which is tomorrow night, finally, we've been waiting forever, it's not going to happen. And they're going to be stuck, and they're going to draft a cornerback or a defensive end you never heard of, and that's going to be it. The whole Russell Wilson thing, they made a huge push for that. They may try to revive that. But, once you get past number three in the draft, that's going to set the tone for the rest of the picks. And, we'll see what happens there. But I have no confidence that they're going to get a diamond in the rough. I have no confidence that they're going to get a quarterback. I have no confidence in any of their football moves at all. It's an absolute joke. And I got to tell you, it's hard to watch nine innings of baseball. I can't watch the Bulls. I watch the Hawks because I'm a diehard hockey fan. But, these are tough times for Chicago sports fans because nobody's going anywhere except perhaps the White Sox. And what's unfortunate there is only half this city cares, which has always bothered me. So I kind of miss not being in the mix because it's easy to do a good sports cast if there's a lot of stuff happening. But I always love the challenge of doing a really great sports cast when nothing is happening. And it's the same mundane stuff every night. Cub highlight, Sox highlight, Bulls highlight, Hawks highlight. And then I always try to find something funny at the end, a kicker or a closer to save the show. But if we could come up with some funny graphics and play with the video and, use the best sound bites and try to have fun with that. My producers, Mike Johnson and Larry Snyder, we would always say, hey, that was a good nothing show. If we liked that, a good nothing show is better than, wow, we're packed with too much good stuff tonight. Having nothing and making something out of it was always better than having too much stuff.
What's the worst year that you remember in covering Chicago sports? The most depressing year that you had to cover on the news?
Well, I would say this past year. But thinking back, there were some really lean years with the Hawks before Rocky Wirtz took over and John McDonough and Jay Blanc brought it into the 21st century, even the 20th century. Everybody knows the Cubs legacy. And once again, I was fortunate to be part of all these teams breaking the trend, So there were many, many years where it was very lean, but it's always more fun to rip teams and players than to be a rah-rah homer. So when everybody was bad, I thought it was much more fun when everybody was bad, because as fans and sportscasters and sports writers and everything else, we have all the answers, None of us ever played at that high level, and but we had all the answers. We could coach any team, and we could straighten out any player. So, I always enjoyed that part of it more so than being a rah-rah homer and just blindly following a team no matter what. You got to call these people out. You got to call organizations out. You have to keep everybody honest. And again, back to worrying about the news business in general, you do have to have objective third-party insight. You can't allow leagues, franchises, players and so forth to write their own stories and to push their own agenda. They have to be called out if something is wrong or if they're not performing.
Have you ever been called out by a team? Have you ever been told, stop criticizing us, this is too much?
Oh, yeah, many times. And I remember the one time when one of his many Sunday night appearances with Johnny Morris on Channel 2, Mike Ditka, who obviously had celebrated a victory too much or drowned his sorrows in a loss a little too much. I remember one night, you know, Johnny starts out saying, well, Mike, tough loss today. And he just went off going, before we get to the game, I just want to say one thing. I'm never going to talk to that Mark Giancarlo again. He's a jerk. He's an idiot. And Johnny's like, okay, Mike. All right, Mike. No, we don't want you to be talking about the competition. And he just went off on me. And, yeah, there were a lot of guys that had no interest in talking to me at all. There are a whole litany of people. But I Jerry Reinsdorf was not a big fan. I think I rubbed Michael Jordan the wrong way a few times, but I'd like to think that I had a pretty good relationship with him. A lot of people just thought of me as this guy's a wise guy just trying to make a name for himself. But no, I was just trying to have fun, and a lot of people have thinner skin than others, you know.
More to come with Mark Giancarlo in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. And Greco still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, your reaction to Steve McMichael's health crisis was what?
Horrifying. I was actually tipped to his condition just as I was being shown the door.
Really?
And that was the end of January, beginning of February. And I was asked by my source not to say anything or do anything with it just yet. And so I, out of respect, I agreed. And then I just have been dreading the official announcement for the past few months. It's just so unfair. It's just as terrible as it gets. There is no cure for ALS. And for anyone to know their fate and just to be deteriorating like this is just has to be the most horrifying thing in the world. And you know, most people knew Mongo, a scary, really intimidating character, an undrafted free agent cut by the Patriots, who worked himself into being an all-pro defensive tackle, who still didn't get the recognition he deserved. But his personality, his will, his presence was as big a part of that 85 Bears team as anybody else. But I got to know him as one of the smartest, most insightful people I've ever met. One of the kindest guys in the world. That Sunday night Sports Sunday show that we did on NBC was incredible. You couldn't air 30 seconds of that half hour today, of course. it was vulgar and outrageous at times, but Steve was the consummate entertainer. He always had some movie prop to torture me with. He had a plan every show to entertain as much as he did on the field earlier that afternoon. And I remember one day we're up at the old Hallis Hall, and I had brought two of my three sons, who were really, really young at the time. He said, are these your kids? I said, yeah, I didn't even know you were married. Come on. He takes them in the locker room, and it's wristbands and signed jerseys and footballs, and he's taking them around, introducing them to everybody. And, you know, pretty intimidating for maybe a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, locker room full of naked guys smoking cigars, playing cards, you know. But Steve went out of his way to, you want to know about my personal life. And I just appreciated going along for that ride. And I thought, you know, playing straight man to his outrageousness was one of the highlights of my career. And, you know, I remember the general manager at the time said, yeah, let's hire Steve McMichael. And then when things got out of hand, he said, you need to harness him. I said, no way, man. This is what you wanted. This is what you get, you know. But I pray for him. I've left him a couple of texts. I don't want to be that guy trying to call him and, you know, he did his interviews and he went public, and I just want to respect his privacy, and hopefully we will talk down the road, but I just love and respect him. And again, he's one of those people that I had the privilege of covering and just, you know, being in his aura, you know, a sidekick for, you know, a day a week. Again, and Sunday nights, that forum was the most competitive time when you're talking about sportscasters.
And Mark, before we finish up today, last question, what's the best Make Mark Do Your Job segment that you did?
Oh my gosh. Larry Snyder and I, you know, he's a very funny, creative guy, and I love doing those. I believe we did 16 of them in the mid to late 90s. And they would run like at the top of the newscast as part of sweeps as features. And then we did the regular sportscast later on. And, you know, during the pandemic, when we had no sports news, we chopped those down and ran the heck out of them all during the pandemic and brought them back and put them on the website and everything else. I enjoyed every single one of them. To pick one would be tough. I was a short order cook. I was a shoe salesman. I was a clown in Ringling Brothers Circus. I was a garbage man, a stand-up comedian in Vegas. I was a dealer in Vegas. I was a race car driver. The first one I did, I was a school teacher at a grammar school up in Wilmette. That was really fun. It just went on and on and on. I worked at Mario Tricocci, where I would do pedicures, manicures, hair and makeup. I can't pick just one because I thought they were all pretty good. And when we revived them, I said, you know what? These held up pretty well. So I thought it was just a great idea. And Larry was at the forefront of that. And we just came up with crazy bits and a lot of shtick. And those are the kind of things I really enjoy doing, more so than just covering basic sports.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining me. Best wishes, of course, moving forward, and really appreciate the time you gave me today. Thank you so much.
John, thank you for the opportunity, and we'll talk soon.
Great talk there with Mark Giangreco. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mark Giangreco himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?